Vegas Nation Podcast is powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Law. Give them a call at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com because you deserve what's right.
SDN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to stationcasinosports.com. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus of up to $100 at all Station Casinos and Wildfires.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Greener.
Welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation. This podcast is sponsored by Sam and Ash Injury Law and presented by Blue Wire Hustle. We're your hosts, Ed Greener and Adam Hill, and we're here each week to give you some of our thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders before entering a world of news and other topics we find really interesting. So here we go. Welcome back from Cabo.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be back. I mean, I guess I'll say that, even though it's not true. I'd rather still be there.
What was it? What was it like in the pandemic world of Cabo?
Tremendous. I mean, it's very different. Like, it's not like crazy or like there's no parties or anything anymore. It's just more just relaxing. I don't think other than the group I was with, I don't think I was within like, you know, we talk about 6 feet rule. I don't think I was within like 30, 40 feet of anybody. It was incredible.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's something like it's – I know it sounds crazy and people don't get it, but I feel so much safer there than I do anywhere here. Like I haven't gone to a casino since March, I don't think.
I thought you were going to say the Capitol building.
No, well, of course not. But I mean, I don't think I've been to a casino since March. Like it's crazy. Why would you get into groups? There's a whole beach that you can separate from everybody. And it's so limited capacity there that it's great. And you know, the plane is pretty empty. You get there, you're not near anybody. It's so much safer than anything here.
How about the traveling party? A lot of hot women like last year?
No, it was a much more subdued, chill group.
COVID ruins everything.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So you're back and you're happy. You'd rather be there. When you were gone, I think you were gone, maybe when they hired Gus Bradley, the Raiders, as their new defensive coordinator. He was a name we heard early and often from the Chargers. And when they moved on from that staff, he kind of became available. So what did you think when you heard Gus Bradley? It didn't seem like it surprised many people that Gruden was someone he knew and who Rod Marinelli knew.
No, I think it was one of those candidates. It's one of those job searches that I think they opened it. They were interested in hearing from some other people and some talking to some people, but it seemed like Gus Bradley was their guy kind of from the beginning. You know, I thought Raheem Morris was a strong possibility, but, you know, Gus Bradley's a guy that they kind of focused in on from the beginning. Oftentimes in these searches, you know, you have a candidate and you think it's going to be one guy. And then you start talking to people and you're like, oh, maybe we like this other guy. But it seemed like the Raiders liked Gus Bradley from the beginning and he didn't do anything to, you know, to ruin his chances in the interview. So he gets the job. So I think, you know, he's a guy who's had success in the league and a couple of different places as a defensive coordinator. Didn't really work out as a head coach. But as a DC, he's been very successful. And I think John Gruden is familiar with him, comfortable with him, and his track record is pretty good. So he's got a huge challenge ahead. But he's shown that he can do it before.
I'm not so sure. Well, so let me ask this, because I don't know really what defense they are built for because they're so bad defensively. So I don't know if you said, hey, Wade Phillips runs the 3-4. Oh, that's what they can run. You know, now they bring in Gus Bradley and it's a cover 3 for a lot of times, which means you really need to have a good defensive line. Well, their weakest part has been their defensive line. So when John Gruden says things like, hey, this is a simple defense, we have the personnel who can pick it up, like, does that constitute that he believes in his defensive players, or did he try to go get someone that could just teach something these guys could actually execute?
Yeah. I mean, that's a troubling kind of comment. I think when you hear it,
what is he saying about him?
I don't know. Well, but I think the beginning of this is that you're right. Like you need to generate a pass rush with your front four in this defense. Like that's kind of the key to the defense and being successful. And you look back at some of the players he's had, especially with the Chargers, and you know, there's been some injuries, but they've got a front four that can generate a pass rush on their own. They don't need a whole lot of blitzes. That's not really the case with the Raiders. Have not really been able to do that. I mean, their pressure rate wasn't awful. Their sack total was terrible, but the pressure rate wasn't awful. It was awful. It wasn't abysmal like their sack totals were. They actually did occasionally generate pressure, and we'll see if they're able to keep that going. Obviously, you need to find reinforcements up front, whether that's through the draft, through free agency, something. Like, you need to invest this offseason in the guys up front. You need to get better there. You need to find guys that can go get the quarterback on their own without a whole lot of help. And, you know, they've got, you know, they brought in some names, some bodies at the end of the year that I think they hope will, you know, stay with them and develop through the offseason and maybe find their form again next season. So they've got those types of guys. But, you know, the bottom line is it just wasn't good enough. Like, that defense will not really work with what they had up front last year. So they've got to get better there. You've got to hope that Damon Arnette and Trayvon Mullen adjust well to quite a different look in terms of a lot of what they'll be asked to do is drop into you know, deep third coverage.
Into zone coverage.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe that works out. I mean, you know, was Damon Arnette working out playing the way that he was playing last year? Not really. So maybe this is, you know, he's better suited to this. Maybe, you know, and essentially it's not even a zone. It's man-to-man within a zone is essentially how it's going to be. A lot of what teams will do is try to challenge him with four vertical routes. That is how you kind of attack this defense. But I think the bottom line is that the guys that they have, especially the guys like, you know, Arnette and Mullen and Abram, Mullen played well, excuse me, at times. But those guys weren't exactly thriving in the old system necessarily. Right. So it's not like you're like, oh, you're going to change the system on these guys. Well, maybe this system works out better for them. Maybe they believe this personnel could work out better with this type of defense. So it's going to be on Gus Bradley to figure out what these guys can do well, how they can be implemented into what he wants to do as a defensive coordinator. And I'm sure he's been around the league long enough to know what he has and what he can work with. He's seen these guys as part of, not that he was focusing on them as a defensive coordinator with the Chargers, but he's seen them. He's been around the last couple of years as they've started to develop. So, you know, we'll see what he can do with these guys. I mean, I think the way you look at it right now, and as ridiculous as it sounds, is it can't really get worse. Like, you can't be much worse defensively.
I mean, can you imagine, though? Look, he was a defensive coordinator with the Chargers. So obviously, he wasn't watching the Raiders' defense. You know, you watch the offense at that point. But he said that he hadn't watched any film or not much film at all. This kid had to go into the lab the last week. Can you imagine when he comes out of the lab, when he looks at Gruden? Like, what is his message going to be like? We need a lot more players if this is going to work. I think I can make these guys better. You better load up in the draft if you're going to spend money on offense, on wide receivers and other positions we're hearing they're going to spend on. Like, that guy, if he watched 16 games of film, what do you think his percentage of positive thoughts in terms of what he can do comparative to when he actually accepted the job?
Well, coaches tend to be pretty self-confident people. So my guess is that he looked at it and he was like, oh, man. He's like, these guys were not in the right place. He's like, but my system will put them in the right place and they'll succeed. I'm sure that there's a level of that. But at the same time, I think you're right. I think you look at it, you're like, okay, we need to figure out a way to – like, these guys don't get to the quarterback. We need to figure out a way to make that happen because that is, like we said, that is one of the keys to this defense is to generate a pass rush with your front four. So I'm sure he's a little bit dreadful of that. But the rest of it, I think he believes schematically he can make it work out a little bit better and that it'll work out that way. So I'm sure he believes in his system and his mentality and everything that he wants to do and that it'll work out. And I think one of the keys is going to be a guy like Jonathan Abram, who has not worked out in coverage at all. But I think there is an element to this defense. Cause when I first thought Gus Bradley cover three Raiders, I was like, oh no, that's a lot of Jonathan Abram in coverage in the middle of the field and the deep, you know, deep middle.
Right.
That's
right.
A disaster. But I think you bring in, you have candidates on the roster, but I think if you bring in a safety, a coverage specialist safety that can play that role, the other safety in a cover three can play a lot more closer to the line of scrimmage, can be
much
more of a run support guy. So yeah. I think that you can work out with Jonathan Abram there and get a you know, defensive backfield mate with him that can handle more of the coverage duties. And then, you know, like I said, Abram and Mullen switching to that, you know, zone man hybrid and the deep thirds, like that we'll see how that works out for them. I mean, like I said, it's not like they were lighting the world on fire the old way. So maybe this works out better. And then you've got, you know, linebackers. I think that, you know, you had some positive signs. Kwiatkowski showed well when he got healthier at the end of the year. Corey Littleton, I think, understands his deficiencies and what he has to do to get better after a disappointing season. So I think you've got some pieces at linebacker, but it's about finding guys to generate a pass rush up front. And then I think you do have to find maybe that, you know, that perfect pair with Abram that will enable him to just play run support and find another guy to play the coverage aspect.
When we talked to these guys after the season, whether it was Nicholas Morrow, Trayvon Mullen, other guys, and this becomes a cliche when you're not very good, and especially on the side of the ball that was just really, really bad in terms of their defense. But the cliches come out of everyone needs to be on the same page. Everyone needs to be held accountable. Everyone needs to be responsible. Like, you hear that all the time with, you know, 500 or losing teams. That's what it's kind of what the go-to remark is. So did you just think that's what guys say, or do you think there's an issue within this team about responsibility and accountability, or is that just an 8-8 team talking?
I think that's just an 8-8 team talking. I don't read a whole lot into that necessarily. And listen, it's a lot of guys also, you know, certainly a lot of guys will be back and they'll be a part of the team, but a lot of guys are going to be playing elsewhere also. So, I mean, you don't know where guys are going to be, especially at the end of the year. You start to have, you know, to have feelings and thoughts about how things went and how you thought you were going to make the playoffs and then it fell apart. So you're a little bit disappointed. But, you know, there's just a lot of things I think guys say right after the season that, you know, you just have to kind of take with a grain of salt. And then you also have guys like Corey Littleton, who's a veteran, who's been around, who after the year just came out and was real honest about, hey, listen, I didn't play well. This is a miserable season for me. I need to be better. I need to get better. And he knows that, you know, he's probably going to be part of the mix next year. Based on his contract. So he knows that he just has to be better. So I think you have to kind of understand individual situations too, with where people stand in terms of their status on the team when they talk about things after the year.
I agree. Okay. But what about when the owner, Mark Davis, says, this is what I want to ask, because I've never met an owner more apparently confident and secure in a head coach as Mark Davis is for someone in John Gruden who hasn't been to the playoffs yet. But when he says things need to be better for sure, and he said it 3 or 4 times to me, next year, 8-8, 7-9, is the seat hot at all? Or do you think he's made this decision that he's rolling with Gruden for the foreseeable future?
I mean, it's my belief that there's no such thing as a hot seat for Gruden because of his contract. I'm sure that there's language in the contract. I mean, we haven't necessarily seen it, so we don't know. But I'm sure there's language in the contract they can get out of it somehow. But really, if you sign a guy to a 10-year deal, and there's been, you know, back and forth about what exactly that means in terms of the contract language and everything else. But, you know, he essentially has the job as long as he wants it. Like, that's my read on the situation, that there's not a whole lot that the Raiders can really do. It's not like they're going to fire him, pay him a huge amount of money, and then pay another coach a huge amount of money to come in and take over. Like, this is John Gruden's job as long as he wants. I mean, maybe it could get to a point where they can say, hey, listen, can you save us the hassle and just quit?
50 million? Yeah,
can you just quit and save us the hassle? But to fire him, I think, becomes a real challenge.
I don't know if you and I ever believed $100 million guarantee was true. I don't think I ever believed that.
I don't either, necessarily. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of money on the table. There's a long term on the table. And that's sure. What I'm saying about we haven't seen the deal, that we don't know. But who knows what the language is in the contract. But I do believe the contract is, at least, while I don't necessarily believe the numbers, I believe it's a lot of money for a long period of time, and that it's very difficult to get out of unless they wrote something in. But if you remember, like, at the time when this was signed and how the pursuit of Gruden for as many years as it was, like, I think Mark Davis was just in, you know, not that it's you know, it's easy to say in retrospect, whatever. I think he was just so, like, out to get John Gruden as his coach that he would have just signed whatever he had to. And so I wouldn't be shocked if there's a huge guarantees, even if he gets fired. And I think it'd be very difficult to move on from a guy like that.
Hey everyone, it's Ed Graney here for Sam and Ash Injury Law, the only injury attorneys I trust. I know if I get in an accident, they're going to make everything as easy as possible to get the right care and get my life back to normal. They're not your parents' lawyers. Sam and Ash will always keep you informed. And if you call them, they're going to call you back the same day. They make sure you get the best possible care. They care, they help, and you win. So if you've been hurt, call Sam and Ash at 702-820-1234. That's 702-820-1234. Or visit their website, samandash.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right.
SDN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to stationcasinosports.com. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus of up to $100 at all Station Casinos and Wildfires.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As a part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, and that's bwhustle.com/join.
Let's get the important stuff. A lot of stuff happened when you were gone. Are you a fan of banning anyone from Twitter for anything? I wanted to ask you this when this happened. I thought, I wonder what he thinks in terms of banning people from Twitter.
No, not really. And here, and like, you know,
that's what I
know. My first of all, let's get out of the way that when people say like it's free speech, it's First Amendment. No, doesn't apply to private companies. So stop that. If your response to how could they ban somebody? It's free speech. It's a private platform. It's not the government. They're not cracking down on your speech. It's not a free speech issue. But I do believe in the free exchange of ideas. And that is a marketplace. Now, it is difficult. Like, I understand the pressure on a private company like Twitter when people are like, how could you allow, you know, not just speech, but like active right. plotting of essentially like a revolution on your platform. Like, how could you allow that? I get how they feel pressure, of course, but like, I'm one for being open. We've talked about this. Like, some of the abuse that I take on Twitter on a daily basis is out of control, but yeah. I've never yeah. blocked somebody. I've never muted somebody. I just allow it to happen. There's one person out there who essentially tweets like death threats and hate every day. Also, the thing that offends me the most
towards you.
Yeah, the thing that offends me the most is the person doesn't even follow me. Like, at least give me the follower. But they do it every day, and I should block the person or mute the person or something. But I look at it as a free exchange of ideas, and I'm not going to do that. So
free exchange of ideas. He's threatening to kill you. What idea is that?
That's his idea. That's what he wants to do. I can't even blame him necessarily. So I allow that. I don't know why. I mean, that's just me, and that's how I think. And yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious right now that people that are really being banned are conservative voices. Obviously, things that I don't agree with. But you also can't like incite violence. I get why Twitter is uncomfortable with it and why people are coming after them. And like, you also have to, as a private company, you have to, you know, give the customers what they want. Right. And for the most part, people don't want to have revolution stoked on a platform like that. So I get it. I understand where they're coming from, but I'm not one to ever really crack down on free speech. And I also think I've said it before, but I also feel like the liberal ideas are far better, but they turn people off with, you know, wanting people banned and wanting people not to say things and having people shut down and all those things like that. That turns people off from what their ideas are. So I think that liberals in general should probably, and you know, I'm including myself, should probably be a lot more open to dissent and, you know, things on the other side.
I lost 150 followers. I'm a sports writer. What are they coming after me for?
Well,
150.
I've seen people lose a lot more. I actually didn't even check.
How does that happen? How does that happen?
How does it happen? I mean, you have some questionable people following you.
Okay. Is that how they determine it? How do they get 150 followers out of me? Yeah, because the people who follow me?
People that follow you got shut down, so their accounts were gone, so they're not following you anymore.
I don't think that's fair. I don't have enough followers. It is. I need more. I don't need to lose any. I looked at my number. I'm like, what happened? What did I do? I didn't do anything to anybody.
Totally, those would probably be followers that you shouldn't want, I would think.
Were you in Cabo when this happened on the storming of the Capitol? Were you there yet?
No, actually. So I left that night.
Okay. Horrible thing. We both agree. But I have to ask you, if you have to pick one moment, what's going to stand out? The kid carrying the podium out of the Capitol, the one kid at Pelosi's desk, like what kind of stood out as the kid with the headdress on? Like, what stood out as the main kind of picture in your mind?
Ed, get it right. That's the QAnon shaman. That's his name.
Okay.
And I will say he's one of my favorite things because we found out that he lives with his mom. He shows up at like all these different rallies on both sides to just stoke the fire. And he very much a Q Trump supporter, but also would show up at Black Lives Matter rallies and try to intimidate and try to incite things there. But also he wears that same outfit when he, and this is according to the report, I'm not making this up, when he goes to Dunkin' Donuts to get iced coffee.
He's got that on.
He wears that. Yeah, that's his thing. He wears that out. So clearly I like him. The guy with the podium is good for sure.
Podium with the wave is gone. I mean, complete lunatic.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot there. I will say, I was not shocked because it makes sense, but like the amount of times, and like I said, I didn't really encounter any people down in Cabo because it was like so spread out. But the, you know, the servers and people, you know, the resort workers, all they want to do, because clearly I just look like an obnoxious American, I'm sure.
All they want to do is talk about the storming of the Capitol.
100% all day, every day. All they wanted to talk about, like, what is going on? What is happening? What, like, and we had, you know, it really hit home, like, in a really weird way, because actually the friends that I was there with are very political. And like, so it was a lot of political talks. And by the way, mostly two of them in particular that are like two of my best friends, very, very conservative, very, very anti-Trump. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Lincoln Project guys basically is who was with. But they were obsessed with talking about it too. But the thing that people were asking is like, how is the fact that there was an attempted execution of your vice president not a bigger deal? And I did not really have an answer. I was like, I don't know. Like I'm sure it should be a bigger deal. It should be talked about more.
Yeah.
But like it's
instead, we're talking about the guy with the lecture.
And it was just such a wild scene and so crazy and so difficult to process that I think like the actual realities of the situation weren't really like accepted or talked about it like in the aftermath of it. It was just this more crazy picture. So I didn't really have an answer for that. People kept asking me that. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Because I think that was the thing that picked up more traction internationally. Was like, wait, they tried to kill their vice president? Like, yeah. Like, well, why did they do that? I'm like, I can't even explain that to you. I don't know. I don't know. It was so weird.
How about the Olympic swimmer? Yeah, we know who you are. We're in the USA jacket. Get another uniform. Yeah. How about that guy wearing his uniform to the storming of the
Capitol?
Probably
not the right. Well, I mean, the QAnon shaman guy also wore his uniform. It's a different uniform.
Oh man, I knew you'd have some comments on this, and you're down in Cabo, so you're probably turning on the TV, not surprised at what you're seeing. But it's interesting that people down there—that's all they wanted to talk about. If those are the images splashed across the world, lectern guy, headdress, USA, sitting at Pelosi's desk. Can you imagine the thoughts about people as it splashed across the world? Like, what's going on here? What's happening in this
country? Yeah, and I got to experience, like, that was part of the thing about being there is getting to experience kind of the, and it's, you know, not a fully international picture. It's the picture from one neighbor. But the question, and by the way, I did not turn on the TV.
You did, oh, yeah, but what about sitting in bars and stuff? You must have seen
no
stuff.
Bars aren't open, even at the resort. I mean, you can go get a drink, but you can't sit at a bar.
So it was pretty much the beach or the room?
Pool, beach room.
Oh, the pool.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, hopefully next year, your Cabo trip will go better in terms of the party atmosphere and why you go down there to begin with. We'll stay with you through the off season. We'll talk about some crazy stuff. We'll stick on some Raiders, but we're going to get into his favorite Netflix shows and bring in some of our rankings in the coming weeks. Well, that'll do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of Vegas Nation. This podcast has been sponsored by Salmon Ash Injury Law, presented by Blue Wire Hustle. Remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just subscribe to Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcasting app. You can also support this show by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and can find all our coverage at VegasNation.com. For Larry, I'm Ed. Talk to you next week.
Hey, everyone, it's Ed Graney from the Vegas Nation podcast. I know Sam and Ash personally, and they're the only ones I would trust to take care of my family after an accident. Don't trust some sketchy lawyer your tow truck driver recommended. Trust Sam and Ash. They're real people. They're genuine. They care about their clients, and they're invested in getting you the best results possible. And while no one can guarantee results, they've collected over $400 million in settlements. So if you've been hurt, call Sam and Ash. They're available 24 hours a day at 702-820-1234. That's 702-820-1234, or go to samandash.com, because you deserve what's right.
SDN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to StationCasinosports.com. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus of up to $100 at all Station Casinos and Wildfires.